To be with you and the Lord be with you and wish you a Christ-centered Christmas coming up. It's amazing. You ever hear this saying? Something, something. It's as slow as Christmas. Well, as a child, you know, Christmas never gets here fast enough. You're thinking of all of the gifts and food and family and all of which many of us will not experience this year, but the Lord will still be here. He never leaves. He never forsakes. You'll never be alone with the Lord Jesus in your heart. And Christmas may be slow, but let me tell you, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come, we're going to have it this week. And by next Friday, you'll know if you're here, if you know the Lord, you're going to know the blessing of remembering him in a very unique way, and that is his coming to earth. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Well, I don't know if you're going to have a white Christmas or not, but we're getting a little more white stuff around here, and it's kind of nice, actually, to have a white Christmas for some reason. I have a son and a daughter that live in California, and we were there one year for Christmas, and I go, this can't be Christmas. There's no snow, you know. But wherever you live with Jesus in your heart, you can have a great Christmas. Luke chapter 19, you know this story well, and I'm going to pick from the story something that we're going to talk about this morning. So watch your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus for who he was, but he could not because of the crowd, and he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he, Jesus, was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. For today I must stay at your house. Verse 6. So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they, that is the crowd around the tree and around the Lord, when they saw it, they all complained. Some translations say they murmured, they're whispering, they're talking, they're complaining, they're critical. And this is what they said, the crowd said, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. That's where we're going to stop for today. Oh, Zacchaeus had a great reception. He received the Lord Jesus into his house that day. But I want to pick up on a little word study here this morning, and I contribute about 90% of what I'm about to share with you to Mr. G. Christopher Willis, who wrote a little book called A Few Hid Treasures in the Greek New Testament. Now, don't get excited. I don't know Greek, but I can read English sometimes. I can even speak it sometimes. And I want to know what a blessing and an encouragement I've had studying one little chapter in Mr. Willis's book. And the title of the chapter is this, Inns, Guest, and Guest Chambers. And that's our study for this morning. You'll notice again in verse 7, the critical mob or crowd accused the Lord Jesus in this way. They said, he, the Lord Jesus, is going to be guest with a man who is a sinner. The word that we want to focus on is actually one word, to be guest, to be a guest. In the Greek, it's just one word, katalu, from the noun kataluma. Okay. No, I'm not speaking in tongues, evidently. If I don't get that pronunciation right, you'll forgive me. But the Greek word means this, a place to lodge, okay? A place to be a guest, a place to relax. You think about it like this. You've been on a long trip, and you finally come to the end of the day. You come to your room. You've come to your kataluma. And there, finally, you close the door behind you. You take your shoes off. Take your coat off. You undo your collar. You relax. You settle down. You unburden yourself from the work of the day. You're just at home. And you go, oh, boy, I'm so glad to be in the kataluma right now. I find it rather intriguing that that's where Jesus was at home, in the house of a sinner. Everybody knew Zacchaeus was a sinner. He had the reputation. We know the story. He's a tax collector. He's a crook. He's a thief. But that day he met Jesus. And Jesus is changing his life. It's even testimony later in the story. But we want to focus on this, this point. Jesus goes in to the house with Zacchaeus, and he's at home. He relaxes. He unloosens his burdens for the day, and he enjoys himself. In that place, he's gone to be guest. Well, only natural, you know. A little later, we'll read in the same text why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And where is Jesus at home? They said, oh, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. And it's only fitting that the Lord Jesus should find an acceptable place among the sinners, because he identified with them. He became sin for them. He gave himself. He died for our sins. And I wonder, is he at home in your heart today? It's a thought, is it? He's going to be guest with a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus would never be the same. Now, there's another play on words. We read here, he's gone to be guest. Now I want you to go back, please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is the Christmas season. We just had our Christmas program at the Pembroke Bible Chapel this morning, and we did it all by Zoom, just like what you're going to do next Thursday night, Lord willing. You're going to have a Christmas program. We had ours this morning. We had shepherds, and we had wise men, and we had angels, and we had kids, and we had twinkling stars, and we had baby Jesus. So we had it all on Zoom, of course. And our lady that put it together for us did a magnificent job. Matter of fact, I'm kind of glad that we couldn't get together for a normal kind of a Christmas program that we have, because this was so different and so unique. It was actually just wonderful. Now, Luke chapter 2, we know the story well. I want you to notice in verse 4, Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, verse 6, that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the, interestingly enough, Mr. Willis has picked it out, Cataluma. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you said Cataluma was gone to be guest. Yes, it's true. That's the way it was translated in Luke 19. But here in Luke chapter 2, it is translated in. They went and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the Cataluma. What is Cataluma again? Let me remind myself. Oh, it's a place to relax, a place to rest, a place to be at home, a place to unloose, a place to unburden, a place to enjoy. Oh, no wonder there wasn't any room for him in that place. He did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Ah, I find that extremely incredible. Ever been on a long journey and just hoped and waited for the time that you could rest, only to find out no vacancy. It's another 15 hours. I can't drive home. I've got to stay somewhere. Please, is there any place? Sorry, no room. One of the worst days in my life was the day I got married. Have I got your attention yet? My wife and I got married in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Because I was going to become a landed immigrant, my wife being Canadian, I had to go to the nearest Canadian consulate in the States of where I lived in Mississippi, and that was in New Orleans. So we got married, and we decided on the day that we got married, we'll just head south. But we didn't know how far we were going to get, and so I didn't book a room. That was a big mistake. You see, we got married on a holiday weekend in the States called Memorial Day weekend. And we had to go right through a part of the United States where they have a big car race every year. And within 500 miles of that place where they have a car race, you can't get a room. And so I'm totally oblivious to all this. I just said, you know, we'll just drive an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. It won't make any difference. We'll just drive when we get ready. We'll pull in and get a room for the night. No room. No, I mean, this is bad at best, but this is like the day you got married. This is your honeymoon. I hope you understand this. This was not good. No room, no room, no room. 3 a.m. in the morning, we got a room where probably we would not have ordinarily stayed. That's the reason I said, not because I married my beloved Ann. That's not the reason. It's the worst day is that we couldn't find a room. I can only imagine Joseph and Mary, and now she's going to have a child. And they're at the end of the day. They're at the end of the journey. She's no room. Mr. Willis said it would not have been appropriate for him to have gotten the Cataluma that night. That was not the place for him to relax. He came in the world to save sinners, not to unloose, not to unburden himself. Okay, now we're going to go to only one more reference. And this time, do you remember I said it's inns, guests, and guest chambers? Maybe you've already thought of it by now. The Lord Jesus is going to instruct his disciples. Let's look at Mark 14 and 14. Or you could look at Luke 22 as well, verse 11. I'm going to Mark 14 and 14. This is when the Lord Jesus is given instructions to his disciples that that they were going to have the Passover together. Do you remember that? Look at verse 12 of Mark 14. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" Verse 13. And he sent out two of his disciples and he said to them, quote, "Go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room or the guest chamber in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." So his disciples went out and they did it. Here's the punchline. Verse 14. Where is the guest chamber? Here's our word, kataluma. Okay, first we read it. He's gone to be guest. He's gone to relax. He's gone to unburden with a man who's a sinner. He came for sinners. That's where he's at home. He's identified with them. Secondly, we learned there was no room in the kataluma because the Lord Jesus did not come on a party or a vacation. He came to be about the Father's business. And so in the place to relax, there was no room. And fulfilling scripture, then he is born in a stable. Now, he asked his disciples to find the place called the guest chamber. Now, I looked it up. Your ESV, English Standard Version, will translate this different. Mr. Darby and his translation will translate this different. And I am told, however, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I am told by some that the definite article, where is the guest chamber? Maybe in certain manuscripts, and I have a tendency to believe it, should be translated where the master said, ask the man of the house, where is the master's, where is my guest chamber? If that is true, and I have a feeling it is the only place on earth he called his own. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's always borrowing something. I believe this is the only place in scripture you will find recorded. The teacher says, where is my guest chamber, which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Inns, guest, and guest chamber. The two places he was at home was with the sinner who'd just been saved and with his disciples and his followers, but not in the inns of this world, not in the system of this world, not unlike ourselves. we're not to be conformed to this world either. And so ends guest and guest chambers. Now, before I quit, I got just a few minutes left. Before I quit, I want to take you back to Luke chapter 10. I want to show you another inn. Another inn. Oh, you know this one. You've read this story many times as well. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You remember that guy? Remember that certain man? In verse 30, he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, verse 31, a priest came by, nothing happened. 32, a Levite came by, nothing happened. 33, a Samaritan came by, and something happened. Notice, the Samaritan, as he journeyed, verse 33, came where he was, right across the street, jumped the ditch, over to the other side, comes right where he is. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, verse 34. So he went to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, and brought him to a... No, it's not Cataluma, interestingly enough. Oh, but it's terribly significant. You see, in our English, you just don't get it. But the Greek text says, brought him to a... inn. That is the Pandakion, not the Cataluma, the Pandakion. Now, what's different about this? Well, this is a little different, and it's so unique. Brought him to a place that receives all. That's what the Pandakion is. You see, the Samaritan got the poor guy, helped him, bandaged him up, got him on his animal, took him over to a place that receives all. I like that, let me tell you. A place that receives all. And then notice what else happens. On the next day, verse 35, when he, the Samaritan, was leaving, he took out 2 denarii and he gave it to the, play on word, watch it, innkeeper, the Pandakios, Pandakion, the inn, Pandakios, the innkeeper. And he said to him, take care of him, et cetera, and et cetera. I'll come back, I'll make it all right. Now, just in keeping with our inns, guest, and guest chambers, the inn where the Samaritan took the wounded man was a place that receives all. Someone has written it like this. Poverty, wretchedness, sin will never keep a person out of that inn, the Pandakion. It is God's inn. It is God's place that receives all. Never yet has a stranger been told no room in that inn. The Lord Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And perhaps the Lord Jesus himself, the good Samaritan of our souls, brings us to the place that receives all. See, only through the Samaritan can he get to the Pandakion. He can't get there any other way. He can't get there himself. He's not capable. He's not able. He has no strength. He has nothing left. He's been stripped of everything. And the good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus, says, I know a place. No one's turned away. And the Pandakios, the innkeeper himself, will welcome you there. Inns, guests, and guest chambers. Your God has not left you alone. He's come to seek and to save. And today I'm kind of visualizing in my mind as I look at this screen that there was a day in many of your lives, all of your lives, I hope, that I see you and the Lord Jesus hand in hand walking down the street, and you received him into your house that day, and he became guest in your heart. And he lives there now, day after day after day. What a beautiful thought. What a wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Father, your word is so unique, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into the heart of a sinner and changing it all. Thank you that you've taken us by the hand and led us to the Pandokion and introduced us to the Pandokios, the innkeeper himself. For you said, Lord Jesus, no one comes to the Father but by me. Thank you for hope. Thank you for the time of the year. Thank you for a wonderful celebration of the Lord's death until he comes. And Father, if it is in your good pleasure to postpone the coming of your Son for another day, we pray that more might hear the good news, that we might respond like the shepherds of old and go away running and jumping and leaping and celebrating and announcing to everyone, he's here, and he's come for you, the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.